Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Editor Knows Best. My name is Katyra Poland. I am the creator of Editor Knows Best. I'm also the CEO of Love for Words, which is an editing boutique. Today, we have a very special guest. But before we get into that, I will remind you that Editor Knows Best airs every other Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can tune in to Editor Knows Best anywhere you can find a podcast. So thank you again for tuning in to this episode. And you can go to our homepage, which is anchor.fm/editor-knows-best altogether. So head over there to hear our past episodes. And again, thank you so much for joining us for this session or this podcast episode. And we do have a special guest, as I shared. He is a Buffalo, New York born and raised musician, a composer, and a producer. His savvy is evidenced by numerous accomplishments and impressive early career partnerships that started in 2012. He has teamed up with various musicians, including Robbie Takac, I'm hoping I am pronouncing that right, Kenny Hawkins, Jerry Livingston, and they worked on the track Mariposa. And some of those that he's partnered with have worked with acts such as Rick James, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, and the Goo Goo Dolls. So that is certainly impressive. He actually finished his first full-length album, A Faith, which was released in 2015. It embodies instrumental melodic sounds meant to capture a listener's heart and soul. The album made it to the iTunes Top Instrumental Music Album Charts in 2015. And in 2017, he completed and released his second album, California Rush, which was, of course, his sophomore project. And that was with an independent label, Castle Music Group. And in 2020, he released another album, Driftin', and completed his very first headlining tour. Then the following year, he completed a 10-city tour across the East Coast of the United States. He has over 300,000 streams and over 250,000 listeners in 98 countries across the globe. And if that's not enough, he's also an author. He writes poetry. So tonight we have Angelo Marinelli with us. Thank you so much, Angelo, for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So after that great bio that you sent and the introduction, I'm so excited to dive in. We've heard so much about your music career and background, but I would love for you to share what motivated you to write your poetry and what that journey was like becoming published.
Absolutely. When I was little, my mom would give me every Christmas empty journals to write in. And lo and behold, you know, I'm 30 now. So that's, you know, two decades worth of empty journals, gifts that I received that I ended up turning into, you know, the poetry book that I released. Last year, I got it on Amazon Prime. I did an audio book version in my studio, the Hurdle Sound Lab. So I've kind of dabbled in, you know, kind of making that poetry come to life on that end. But the journey comes from, you know, creating just from when I was a kid and saving all the random words and thoughts, you know, scraps of napkins, anything that I could write on, I was writing on and saving and rewriting those words onto something else and trying to save different books. You know, so the journey's been pretty grueling, as you know, with most creators, it is, but, you know, I think zeroing in on having a finished product and finished poems that you can actually promote and, you know, give to somebody to read is more than just ideas. It's completion, which is huge.
Yes, definitely. I've also published a book of poetry, so I'm sure there were some elements that we both experienced because it's such a personal process and personal journey to share your poetry with the world.
Oh, absolutely. So,
myself and the listeners would love to know a little bit more about your experience writing the poetry, what it felt like, and your most and least favorite parts of that self-publishing journey and the writing itself.
As you know, the publishing journey can be pretty grueling. I ended up self-publishing a lot of the time because I learned that I can make a lot of the royalties back. You know, I wanted to kind of cut out the middleman, and, you know, doing things independently with my music is how I've received a lot of my success. So writing a book goes hand in hand with writing music. I wanted to create a book that went along with the music that I was creating so that people can not only listen to the music, they can listen to the audiobook and read the poetry book to kind of see the behind scenes of what, you know, my songs or life really was behind the music. So I use my poetry as a, you know, true story type, you know, feel, where the music is, you know, sometimes, you know, not fantasy at all, but it's more about, you know, catching the listener's attention. And, you know, obviously music and poetry are two different things, but they go hand in hand. A lot of my songs ended up in my poetry book as well. So there's a lot of correlation between my songwriting and my poetry. So that's essentially where it all kind of came from. And I realized through working with Marie Rochelle from Conversions Coworking is that, you know, she was like, hey, you have all these poems together. You know, I had 100 poems at the time, and she's like, you should publish your own book. And I already had the work done, and I pretty much just rewrote it, and the whole book was finished. So it was a pretty incredible idea, connection, just to be like, oh my God, I have it done. Why, you know, I should finish this, you know?
Fantastic. Yes, I'm so glad that you were able to get that done. I know we all face a lot of barriers, so it's always exciting to be able to, you know, publish your book and see that come to fruition. So what would you describe as your least and favorite parts of the writing and or the publishing process?
I would say my least favorite part of, the writing part is just the time it takes to hand write everything. I can pull out a lot of the books that I have just rewritten everything, you know, and rewriting your stuff takes a lot of time. I would say, with self-publishing, you have to do a lot of your own work. So if you're not constantly promoting or marketing or putting out ads around your book, you know, right, it's not going to do as well, you know, as far as, you know, putting your stuff in like Barnes and Nobles and stuff. That's really awesome. But for me, I kind of took the route where people can come to my shows, and then my book is kind of like merchandise. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of different artists use their merchandise, you know, to be different things. And I wanted to incorporate, you know, more of a story behind that as merchandise for my own, you know, music business, you know, for Eid Love Music, and, you know, as well for the Hurdle Sound Lab, because I love, you know, doing audiobooks for authors and working together with authors. I realized that there is almost like a niche for people who need it to record their own book.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, that's a great tie-in. And thanks so much for telling us a little bit more about your experience. And I agree, you know, the writing part is the most tedious part as the author. So I do remember writing the poetry for my, you know, book of poetry, and just the time that you have to put in, and, you know, back and cutting out poems and making sure it all gels together. So,
oh, absolutely.
I agree with that. So what resources did you use to make the process easier? And what recommendations do you have to our listeners who are interested in publishing a book of poetry?
I would recommend, you know, obviously keeping your ideas organized and, you know, finding the best people and companies or businesses that best represent you. You know, because I feel like working together with like-minded people or companies, businesses, they'll help you with your achieving your goals as far as your book goes. You know, I'm very lucky to have had completed my book so quickly and to have had it published on Amazon so fast. You know, I've heard a lot of nightmare stories where people will, where they'll work on writing their book for 10 years and then, you know, they won't be published or their publisher will try and own 80%. You know, I feel if you're dedicated enough to, you know, put out the ads and do a book tour, and, you know, I tour with my music all the time across state lines. So I'm always meeting different people, and, you know, music is a very personable industry. So when I'm sharing my music, sharing my poetry as well, so it's super easy for me to share both simultaneously. You know, but for other people who I guess aren't doing music or aren't nationally touring, I would say, you know, it's just about, you know, setting up those book tours and, you know, finding your avenues, you know, finding different avenues that can, you know, represent you in the best way. You don't necessarily need to be giving away 80-90% of your book when, especially, like, you've written your whole life's journey in this book, and the last thing that you want to do is give up all the profits to your publisher. You know, you want to be making 100% of your royalties. You want to be making and it's the same lines with music. You want to be owning your own music. You don't want to be giving away a lot of royalties. And, you know, music and poetry and writing books, like I said, is along the same lines as far as publishing goes. So I like to publish in the same way I do my music. So independently, I feel, is definitely the way to go. You know, unless, you know, that deal is, you know, some type of book tour, some type of, you know, press, some type of marketing, you know, where you're making that money back at least, right? You know, and that's my personal experience. You can make more money. I had a sold out book release in Hamburg, New York, and it was literally me reciting my own poetry at the Conversions co-working space, and the event sold out. And I ended up selling out of all my books. Mm-hmm. And that was the best way for me to get my poetry and my words out there. I didn't feel for 1 second that selling out was the way to go. So that would be my advice personally of, you know, how you can make more money and, you know, how you can also, you know, it's a lot harder in the long scheme of things, but it's a lot more worth it, especially when, you know, things can be, you know, extremely rewarding for you in that sense. So,
for sure, I agree. All of my books are self-published, so I'm definitely agree with Angelo. If you are looking to maintain, you know, creative control and earn the most on your royalties, self-publishing will be the way to go for you, if that's what you're looking for. So I agree with that. And then the other piece that you touched on is the promoting of your book. So if you don't promote your own books, nobody else will. So it can be challenging to find, you know, resources or like a book publicist or like PR specialists who are able to promote your book for you. But again, in order for someone else to do it, you have to have that drive and take the initiative to do it, specifically if you are self-published. However, it's definitely possible. I mean, you can be on podcasts like this one and promote. You can host a book signing, like Angelo said. I also had a book signing. I was able to sell out, just like Angelo. So, I definitely encourage you to have an open mind. You can book speaking engagements based on your book. Find organizations that align with the themes throughout your book. Or like for Angelo, you know, you write a book of poetry. So I'm sure there are different poetry groups, poetry slams, et cetera, poetry associations. And you could tie that into your book and get paid for speaking engagements. So there's many different ways to promote. You just have to do your due diligence. So now that we've talked a little bit about your writing and about your experience with the publishing, we are on a podcast called Editor Knows Best. Hey. So I would like to know, and the audience, I'm sure, would like to know what that editing experience was like for you. And I will, you know, bring to the forefront that editing poetry is very different than editing like a novel or a biography or like a romance. So we'd love to hear more about what that experience was like for you and the importance of having an editor.
Yeah, absolutely. The editor of my book, Lost in Thought, was actually Marie Rochelle. Okay. She was the editor on that all the way. I think, you know, being a male, having a female touch on your writing, it definitely just gives it that oomph, is what I'd like to call it. You know, poetry is so... sometimes so free, you know, so I like to just write in a way that I would talk, you know, so a lot of what you read are like my personal stories and my personal thoughts. Lost in Thought is my compilation of, you know, my songwriting, my stories, my life experiences, you know, how I feel about different, you know, things, and just like the journey of, you know, being a musician. And I think the first year it came to transposing everything, and that was, like I said, some of the hardest stuff. So then it took literally it took 1 year to kind of transpose all the writings. And, you know, I had, like I said, stuff on like napkins that were in my dresser drawers and stuff, kind of all scattered. And then I had to transpose that into like one main story. And then I had to transpose that again into like a final book. So that took like 6 months. And then I had to retype everything in. So that took another 6 months. So everything, even though everything was already written, it still took me about 2 years to finalize all the writings and get the artwork done, and kind of actually bring it to life, you know, making the table of contents, putting together like the main copyrights. I learned how to do copyrights through my lawyer. So I do all my own copyrights, even with like my music. You know, so I had to make sure that I had the official copyright on like the second page of my poetry book, you know, so just making sure that all my P's and Q's were lined up correctly, you know. So ultimately it took me a good amount of time to put out, but now that it's out, you know, it's like learning how to ride a bike. You know, once it's out, and you know, you can make a good amount of copies and you can sell them out, and then you can make those copies again and you can sell them out. You know, writing and poetry is just something that I love. And I love, you know, being able to think of a story or go through an experience and then being able to write about it in like an opinionated poetry breakdown. You know, it's not quite a song. I don't necessarily have to make music to it, you know, but it's the lyrical end, you know, that has the silence to it, you know. And that's for someone who makes music all day and is always in the studio, sometimes all you want to just listen to is peace and quiet. And you know, I've definitely taken a liking and love to you know, just audiobooks and poetry and listening to other stories and, you know, I love storytelling and stories. There's, you know, so many amazing messages that you can learn and I think grow from. So I think that makes you smarter as an individual, and that's what always hooks me in for it. So
awesome. Thanks for sharing your passion for storytelling and you know, writing your poetry. So I know you mentioned that your editor was female, and that added a nice touch to your work. Is there anything else that you learned, you know, during the editing process? And also, what do you feel the importance of editing is? Because some authors are hesitant to work with an editor. So again, anything else you want to point out that you experienced during the editing phase, and also why you feel it's important for authors to work with an editor?
Yeah, I feel it's important to work with an editor, just as it is important to work with a good sound engineer to make you sound good. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not working with people that put you in the best light, you should be working with different people.
Right.
You know, having an editor to kind of say, hey, you know, the, you know, what you're writing is great, but what about A and B, you know? And having that second or third opinion ultimately makes your writing better, you know? And, you know, what they say is, hey, if you've received the same, you know, compliment or feedback three times in a row, you're usually spot on. You're usually not wrong from what they're saying. And I've taken that into a lot with what the editing goes, because I'm not going to also fabricate a lot of my words when, you know, when I was working close together with my editor, you know, she knows me really well, and she didn't put words in my mouth. She didn't retranspose anything. She didn't add anything in at all. Really, for me, it was just an editing as far as grammatical is concerned, just so that, like, you know, my commas were in the right places, or, you know, different things like that. But I feel like, you know, like I said, if you find someone to work with, it's all about, you know, finding someone that'll make your writing better. You know, even if your editor, you know, is someone that you know that is extremely talented in writing. You know, my editor is extremely talented in writing, and it was almost a, like, no-brainer for me to ask. And it was a plus for her because, you know, she wanted to get into, you know, editing books more, and it was something for her to use on her resume or for her to use, like, moving forward. So it was kind of a win-win situation for both parties. And I think when you're working on projects with good people, you always make a project that is timeless, in a sense where, with music too, if you work with a lot of great people on music, you can make a lot of timeless music. And that's a very, that's an incredible power to have, you know, especially when you're a creator yourself. So I think the editing process is an extremely intricate and grueling process. But I think if you just take your time and you're confident enough in yourself, then you can get your work done and you can create some really great material.
Absolutely, yes. So thank you for sharing more about that process and assuring our listeners that, you know, the editing is very important. But the most important part is the relationship you have with the editor. Absolutely. So you want to, you know, speak with the editor beforehand. Most editors, or many editors, offer a sample edit. So that is your opportunity to take a look at their work, make sure it aligns. And, you know, when you have the consultation call, you're getting to know them better, make sure that they're well suited for your genre, the vernacular you'll be using. That they actually like the genre, that they have experience with it. So for our listeners who might be nervous to work with an editor, the most important part is the relationship. The skill, of course, is important, but you really want to focus on making sure that you trust the editor, that they understand you, and again, that they will maintain your voice. So don't be afraid to work with an editor. We're here to help you, not hurt you. Just make sure you do your due diligence to choose the editor that's best for you and your work. So again, Angelo, for giving insight into that editing piece. So you mentioned the audiobook, or audiobook services that you offer, but if you could just give a quick intro into what that consists of, some of our listeners aren't really familiar currently in the industry, so you could tell us what the audiobook process entails, a little bit about that, and then we'll transition.
Absolutely. I'm always willing to work together with authors. I actually love working together with authors. When it comes to the recording process, you know, if you're in the Buffalo area, you can come into my recording studio. We can track and record your entire book. I can make custom music for your intro and your outro. My audiobook is on Amazon and Audio, or Amazon and Audible. Usually the process depends on length of the book. Mm-hmm. So say if it's, you know, anything over, you know, 500 pages, you're gonna want a couple days to come into the studio, you know, to kind of voice act your own book. You know, I love being able to give authors the chance to use their own voice for their own audiobook. Even if you're not in the Buffalo area and you'd still like to do an audiobook, you can record your own recording or your own audiobook, and you can send me the recording for it, and I will create your audiobook for you. So with that being said, you can send me the recordings and I'll create the, say if you want, like I said, the custom intro and outro music, I can put it all together for you. I can mix and master it for you so you can release it on your distribution services. And that way you have an overall, you know, hour and a half duration, one single track audiobook, you know, for your marketing, for your promo, for your book tours, for even yourself. I wanted to offer this for authors because I realized a lot of insanely talented authors should be doing audiobooks. And for me personally, I wanted to challenge myself by creating my own audiobook. And it was something that I had a lot of success on. And I'm super excited about being able to offer that service to authors. Because once you record and you capture your own vocal reciting your own poetry, there's a sense of feeling with that that is incredible and it's priceless. So for me to be able to offer that to any author it's a dream of mine, and it's a passion to help others have that access and to be able to create that.
Awesome. Thank you so much for giving us a background about the audiobook.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you so much. If you could just share where people can contact you, if they're interested in the audiobook recording or your music or your book.
Well, you can contact me on any of my socials. It's Edalo Music, E-D-A-L-O Music. Edalo is my middle name. Feel free to reach out to me via email, edlomusic@gmail.com, or my recording studio email, which is thehurdlesoundlab@gmail. I run the Hurdle Sound Lab in Buffalo, New York. You can look us up on Google search. Feel free to contact us any way, which way you feel comfortable. You can call me personally. You know, but I would feel like email is probably your best bet if you don't know me personally. But I'm always willing to, you know, connect with you and make your dream come true as far as audiobooks go.
Thank you so much for sharing your contact info. And if you could share one closing thought with our audience or words of encouragement, what would that be?
I would say words of encouragement, you know, never give up on a true, I will never give up on what the, on what you want to do, and always like stay true to yourself, because if you're not staying true to yourself, somebody else's agenda will be put on you, and you'll end up doing a million things that make you unhappy. And I feel like as long as you are taking the proper steps to make yourself happy, everyone around you will be just as, if not happier.
Thank you so much. I couldn't agree more, and I couldn't say that better. Stay true to yourself. Make sure you're pursuing what's best for you. And, you know, despite any pushback or disagreement, make sure that you're always authentic in all your pursuits. So thank you for sharing that. And I certainly agree. And I'm sure that our audience also agrees. Thank you so much, Angelo, for being our guest for this episode of Editor Knows Best. I've appreciated getting to know your journey, and appreciate you sharing with the audience. And thank you so much to all the listeners. You're welcome. Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much to all the listeners. Again, you can tune into Editor Knows Best wherever you can find a podcast that airs every other Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Mondays. Oh, I said Monday. Mondays. So feel free to tune in and listen to this episode and past and future episodes. Thanks again so much, Angelo. Thank you to the listeners. You're welcome. Be safe and be well, everyone.
Thank you.